Welcome to the APA Podcast, where we help one another follow Jesus at home, in our city, and around the world.
Now, you guys might be wondering, what on earth is going on? I know Pastor Dave's looking at me like, Nick, what is going on? I was putting my headset on, and I broke it, like right as I was about to come up. And then I went to check the other one, and that one's broken. So now I'm going to use this mic instead, so sorry for the dramatic. Oh, man. Give me a moment. I'm just going to take my breath. Okay, well, hello. My name is Nick, and I'm one of the pastors here. And let me tell you, it is a joy and privilege to be with you here today. I'm just going to get my notes set up. Perfect. And to share in this series, Life in the Spirit. Last week, Pastor Dave shared about what it looks like to be filled by the Spirit. And if you missed it, we had amazing special effects. The lights went out, there was the sound of wind, and a flickering flame came up on the screen. And I know it's hard to believe, but I am the special effects team here at APA. And so I was quick to help out. But let me tell you, it is not easy to pull off big, flashy special effects like that. Like, we had to go through a couple of iterations before we found the right stuff. We tried a few different flames, trying to determine which one is the most tongue-like, a couple different wind sounds. And let me tell you, I had some amazing wind sounds picked out that Pastor Dave didn't go for. And so I just want to play one of them. This one was my favorite. Tara, if you want to hit that one. It's a balloon being deflated, but apparently that sounded a little too much like a different kind of wind, which I was kind of sad about. But after all of the special effects, we learned that being filled with the Holy Spirit is meant for everyone. And it's meant for here and now. It leads to joy and thanksgiving. But in order to be filled, we need to be empty and clean. And so we were invited to get rid of sin, get rid of things that come before God in our lives so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit instead. And then the week before that, Dave and Rebecca looked at how the Holy Spirit is a helper and a comforter. And I don't know about you, but one of the times when I most need the Holy Spirit as a helper is when I go to the grocery store with a list of unfamiliar items. Anybody else been there? No, I'm the only one. Wow. Well, then let me tell you about this experience. A few months ago, I was doing our grocery shopping, and we love meal planning. We were trying out a new meal, and so I was doing the grocery shopping without kids. And let me tell you, when you're a parent and you get to go grocery shopping without kids, it is a miracle, and you go as fast as you can. You time yourself to see how efficient you can make it. And so I had my route all planned out. I was crushing it. Like, seriously, I was doing an unreal job, and then all of a sudden I came to the bottom of the list, and what was there but fried tofu puffs? Now, who knows what fried tofu puffs are? Yeah, exactly. No, oh, okay, I see a hand. So somebody knows what they are, but man, let me tell you, I had no idea. I'm trying to Google it, trying to figure out where it is, and so I was like, okay, fried tofu puffs, maybe it's like a chip. So I, like, go down the chip aisle. Not there. And I'm like, okay. Maybe it's in the international food section because there's always lots of good stuff there. Go down that aisle, nothing. Then I'm like, okay, tofu, that's kind of like a health food. Let's try the health food section. Went, not there. Then I got like really determined of like, I'm going to find this. So I went up and down the international food section 6 to 20 times, something like that. I went so slowly. I was looking at each and every label being like, I am not going to miss this. I couldn't find it. And so my 25-minute grocery shop turned into a 50-minute grocery stop with text messages from my wife saying, Nick, where are you? And so I had to do the thing where I had to ask for help. Which, yeah, I did it. I did it. I asked for help. And so I found a nice worker. He came to help me. He went up and down all the aisles that I had just gone up and down. And he couldn't find it, so he went into the back, found a manager, who then directed us, where do you think tofu puffs are? Any guesses? I can't hear what you're saying, but they're by the salads. Salads, that's where. So if you ever need fried tofu puffs, they're by the salads. Anyways, you might be thinking, Nick, did you really just use Sunday morning to teach everyone where the tofu puffs are at our local superstore? And the answer is yes. But also no. I promise this ties into what we're talking about today. It's not just a random rabbit hole. We'll get back to it soon. Which brings us to the topic at hand. What we're talking about today is being led by the Spirit. Now, when I say these four words, led by the Spirit, I imagine that there are a lot of different responses and feelings represented here today. Maybe you're new to church or Christianity, and being led by the Spirit might sound pretty out there. It might sound a bit weird or confusing. Maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum, and you're a mature believer who lives a life led by the Spirit. This is familiar ground for you. Others may be curious. Maybe you've heard this phrase before, but never figured out how, or experienced what it means. And others still, this phrase might bring up painful memories. Maybe you've been hurt by someone who claimed that they were being led by the Spirit. And so you've distanced yourself from this phrase, not wanting to be hurt again. Well, wherever you find yourself this morning, I want you to know that this morning, this message is for you. Because I believe that God wants each and every one of us to be led by the Spirit. And I believe that we all have more to learn about what this means and looks like. So this morning, we're going to ask two big questions. Number one, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? And number two, how do we choose to be led by the Spirit? Now, I believe that if we can unpack these two questions, we'll be well set up to be a church that doesn't just worship or learn about God, but a church that is led by the Spirit and follows His path for us. So, to begin, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Now, we're going to open up, we're going to look at Romans 8, 14 to 17. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up there. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation, and we've got it up on the screen as well. Verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. Now, in these four short verses, we learn a lot about what it means to be led by the Spirit. But to be honest, it doesn't really seem obvious after an initial read-through. So, let's try and unpack what it means to be led. Well, first off, if we're being led, there's a rather important implication that we're on a journey. If we're being led, then we aren't stationary. We are moving from point A to point P, and we find ourselves somewhere in between those two points. This is an important truth for us to understand if we as Christians long to be led by the Spirit. We need to acknowledge the need to move, to grow, to change, and not just maintain the status quo. Being led by the Spirit requires action and momentum. It means moving forward. Which brings us to another important question, to where? Where are we being led? Where is the Spirit leading us to? And this is what Romans 8 unpacks for us. It tells us that we're being led to an incredible inheritance. When we are led by the Spirit, our identity actually changes and a new pathway opens up for us. Verse 14 says, those led by the Spirit are children of God. We have been adopted by God. Now, when the letter to the Romans was written, this idea of adoption was no small thing. There was no Jewish practice of adoption, so Paul and his audience would have been thinking of the Greco-Roman practice of adoption. And in that culture and context, adoption wasn't undergone lightly or regularly, because it was a complex process that held significant ramifications. The adopted person lost all ties to their old family, including both rights and debts. And then they were fully embraced by their new family. They were treated the same as any biological children and became heir to the family's wealth. This is the same language that Paul uses to describe our adoption as God's children. We are children who call him Abba, Father, a term that communicates deep intimacy with God. We are heirs to God's glory, just as Jesus is. Isn't that crazy? We aren't second-class children. We aren't viewed as less. We aren't promised less. We are fully co-heirs with Christ. That just blows my mind. This inheritance that we journey toward, the promise of eternal life with God, the promise of an end to all pain and suffering, this is what we walk toward when we are led by the Spirit. So if we're headed toward this beautiful inheritance, it also implies that we're leaving something else behind. And again, Romans 8 actually alludes to this in verse 15, but it's said more clearly in Galatians 4, verse 7. Now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. See, the place that we're leaving behind is our old identity, the identity of a slave, of being bound by the slave master of sin. When we were completely stuck, ruled by our sinful natures, and unable to do anything about it. Have you ever experienced that feeling of helplessness? Where it seems like no matter what, you can't break out of this cycle of putting yourself first. Whether it's not caring for others or not living generously, maybe you're hurting those around you or always speaking about yourself, speaking with pride. The list could go on and on. Let me tell you, I've been there. I know that feeling of helplessness. But you want to know the good news? The Holy Spirit is leading us away from that place. And he's leading us towards a beautiful inheritance. Now, this isn't some brand new plan or thought. The Spirit leading people from slavery to inheritance is an important theme that we see throughout Scripture. We see this theme, this story play out in the book of Exodus. The Jewish people at that time were slaves in Egypt, but God claims them as his children. We can read this in Exodus 4, 22 to 23, where God is instructing Moses to go to Pharaoh and say this, "This is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. I commanded you, let my son go so he can worship me. These people are my children." But not only that, they are the firstborn. They are God's heir. Now, when I think of this moment in Scripture, I think of the movie The Prince of Egypt, the powerful scene where Moses goes before Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." But that doesn't even give us the full picture. Here we see God saying, "Let my son go. Let my firstborn go. Let my heir go." It adds so much more weight to that moment because it expresses God's personal connection with his people. And it also sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? This same terminology is what is used in Romans 8. And that's no accident. There are parallels on purpose, and the parallels don't end there. The moment the Israelites leave Egypt, they are led by God. They're led by the Spirit. He guides them as a pillar of cloud by day and as a pillar of fire by night. He leads them every step of the way. And where is he leading them to? He's leading them to the promised land, the land that God promised to Abraham generations before. God leads his people, his children, to their inheritance. And so fast forward thousands of years later, and this is exactly what God is offering to us here and now. He's offering liberation from slavery, where we are no longer controlled by sin. He's offering a new identity, that of his child and his heir. He's offering a beautiful inheritance, being part of the kingdom of God, free from sickness, death, and decay, eternal life with our Creator, just as it was always intended to be. It's beautiful and amazing. It's overwhelming because we don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But here's the thing. Being led by the Spirit, entering into these things, is a choice. God doesn't force us on this new journey. He beckons us. He invites us. And we are left with the choice. Do we start on this journey of being led by the Spirit, or do we get stuck in our old way of living? Being stuck in sin, stuck in a life of slavery. Because here's the thing, being led by the Spirit is not easy. Romans 8:17 speaks of the fact that we are led, as we're led by the Spirit, we will share in Christ's suffering. This is a difficult road to walk. Think about the Israelites who were being led to the Promised Land. It wasn't some breezy cruise that they were on. They were led through the wilderness. And there were time and time again where they talked about going back, turning back, because they remembered that they at least had food in Israel, or in Egypt, when they were slaves. And so they were faced with a choice. Do we trust God and keep following his leading, or do we go back to being slaves in Egypt? And guess what? You and I encounter that same choice every single day. I love how N.T. Wright puts it. Christians will often be tempted to give up the struggle and go back to Egypt, to the place of slavery. It's a continual choice that we make. Will we be led by the Spirit, or will we try to do things on our own? Remember the tofu from earlier? This is how it relates. Bringing it all full circle, I can continue on in my own stubbornness to try and find the tofu on my own with my own wisdom and strength, or I can allow myself to be led. It might get uncomfortable for me because I hate asking for help, but still, we can choose to be led in spite of the hardships. So that's the answer to our first question. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? It means making a choice to accept the new identity that's offered to us, that of being children of God, and to move forward in the journey away from slavery and towards our inheritance. So let's move on to question number two. How do we choose to be led? I think we often gloss over this part, expecting people to figure it out on their own. But I don't think the answer is obvious. Let me explain what I mean. Each night, I get to read stories to my children. For Liam, our 4-year-old, we read one story that he chooses, one Bible story, and then one page from his VeggieTales devotional that we got for him. And let me tell you, he loves the story and understands it. He loves the Bible story and he understands it, but the devotional can sometimes be a struggle. And it's a struggle because the devotional uses questions. It poses questions to help him engage with what we are learning together. And so a couple of weeks ago, the devotional posed this specific question. Do you know that God is always with you? And so when I asked Liam this question, he responded right away, no hesitation. And he said, no. I'm like, man, I'm screwing up this parenting thing. But I backtracked a little, made sure that he understood the question, and sadly, he did understand the question. He wasn't answering some other thing. And so I was like, okay, bud, like, what's going on here? Why do you not think that God is always with you? And he looked at me really matter-of-factly. He gestured right beside himself, and he said, I don't see him, Dad. And I was like, well, yes, that totally makes sense. And don't worry, I did have a pastoral moment with him talking through how God is there even when we can't see him. But his answer made sense. How could God always be there if I can't see him? And his answer really stuck in my mind, especially this week as I prepared for this Sunday, asking the question, how are we led by someone who we can't even see? And the answer isn't immediately obvious. And so I think it's important that we unpack this together rather than assuming we'll all just figure it out on our own. Because here's the thing, Christians have been trying to figure out how to live this out for thousands of years. And while I don't think that there's one universal way to be led by the Spirit, I think that there's a beautiful opportunity for us to share our own experiences with one another, to give ideas and suggestions of what it can practically look like to be led by the Spirit. It's a way that we can help one another better follow Jesus. And so what I want to propose this morning is that being led by the Spirit consists of two core components that can be expressed in many ways. But at its core, being led by the Spirit involves these two things. One, listening to God. And then two, responding in obedience. As my son astutely pointed out, we can't see the Holy Spirit, so we can't rely on sight in order to be led. We need to use a different sense. And I think that the way we do this is to listen for guidance. We listen because, well, I believe that God speaks. The Bible is filled with examples of God speaking to his people. There's actually a surprising amount of variety to the ways that God speaks. Sometimes it's through an audible voice. Like when God called out to Samuel, or when Jesus called out to Saul on the road to Damascus. Sometimes it's through angels, like how God sends an angel to Mary to tell her that she will give birth to Jesus. Sometimes it's through a miraculous means, like when God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. Other times, God speaks through dreams and visions, like how God spoke to Joseph through his dreams about his future. And other times still, God speaks through other people. Think about it. God often spoke through prophets in the Old Testament. That was one of the primary ways which he spoke. There are also spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 that are all about God speaking through us to encourage one another. And when we are given words of knowledge, words of wisdom, a prophecy, or an interpretation of tongues, we're living that out. I also hope and pray that God would speak to you as I preach and teach this morning. The Bible is filled with examples of how God has spoken in the past and how he continues to speak to this day. But the most common way in which God speaks to me isn't one of those five ways. The most common way he speaks to me is directly into my heart and mind. Now, to those who have experienced this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But for others, this explanation can be confusing. The book of Acts is filled with examples of this, where people like Paul make decisions led by the Spirit. And there's no explanation given other than that they knew that it was something that the Spirit wanted them to do. And so what on earth does that mean? What does this practically look like? Well, let me share some examples of what it's looked like in my life. Sometimes when I'm praying or thinking, I'll know something in my knower. I know it's hard to explain, but I'll get this deep knowing inside of whether something's right or wrong or of what I'm supposed to do in a particular moment. And it's almost like this knowledge just bypasses my head and I just know it in my gut. We often think of this as our conscience, but here's the thing. As Christians, we believe that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And if that's the case, I think that our conscience is so much more than just a figment of our imagination. I think it's the Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us toward the right path. And the more that I follow this knowing in my knower, the more it's proven right. And the easier it is to listen to it next time. Other times there will be a word or a picture that just pops into my head. And again, it might bypass my thoughts, and yet it's there, right at the forefront of my mind, and I can't shake it. I keep thinking about it. And I believe that God uses these thoughts and pictures to speak to me. They often come when I'm praying for others, and as I'm brave enough to share them, it's amazing to see how these words and pictures can have profound meaning for those that I'm praying for. All from a word or a picture that just pops into my head, and I'm left totally dumbfounded, knowing it can only be God. The last way that I'll share is when I get overwhelmed by a feeling or emotion. There are times when I've been struggling a lot, feeling like a failure, feeling lonely, feeling like nobody loves me. And I'll bring those feelings to God in prayer, tell him all about it, and then suddenly I'll feel this wave of emotion that comes over me, where I'll feel loved or accepted. And I have no other explanation for what is happening other than that God is speaking to me directly through my emotions and feelings, telling me that he loves me, telling me that he cares for me and that I am his. So those are some of the ways that God speaks directly to my heart and mind. But the question that comes up most often when I share these things is, well, Nick, how do you know that it's God and not your imagination? And it's true, it can be hard to know. If an angel appears or you hear the audible voice of God, it's pretty obvious that it's God speaking to you. But it can be really easy to doubt these other ways. And so how do I know? Well, I can test what I'm hearing. It's actually really simple. I do these two things. First, I check to see if what I'm hearing or feeling lines up with Scripture? Does this line up with what God says in the Bible? Does this line up with who I know God to be? And if it doesn't, well, that's a red flag. I'm probably not going to believe that that is from God. But if it does, then there's a pretty good chance that God is speaking to me. The second is that I'll talk to a fellow Christian that I trust, and I'll ask them what they think. I'll share what I sense God speaking to me, and they'll tell me if it's theologically weird or if it sounds like the voice of God. And if what I hear from God passes those two tests, then I do the most important part, which is choosing to believe that it's God's voice. The more I do this, the easier it becomes to recognize God's voice. And it makes sense. I'm developing a trust in a relationship. I'm building confidence in my ability to hear his voice. And all the while, it draws me closer to God. So God speaks in many ways, but hearing God, or what God has to say, is only half of being led by the Spirit. The other crucial piece is to respond in obedience. Again, being led by the Spirit means moving forward. It means growth. It means action. So when we listen for God's voice and we hear what he has to say to us, we need to respond. To be honest, this can be scary. I remember driving down a street one time and seeing a mom and her kids walking down the side of the road. And I can't explain it other than that this thought came into my mind and I couldn't shake it. And I knew that it was from God saying, Nick, pull over and go and pray for that mom. And let me tell you, I was really quick to come up with every excuse possible for not following through with it. I was already late to where I was trying to go. There was no place to pull over. And how creepy would it be if I just pulled over and tried to engage this mom who's struggling to keep her kids under control just to pray for her? And yet I knew I was supposed to do it. So what happened? Well, I kept driving, and I moved on. And I missed out on this opportunity to be led by the Spirit. And to this day, I regret it. To this day, I think about it, and I think about what could have happened if I had responded in obedience. Another time, I was at a conference for global workers, for missionaries, and they were about to raise an offering. And as that happened, God spoke to me and said, Nick, you're supposed to give towards this. Now, to be honest, my first thought wasn't being thrilled about that, but because I was newly married, Rachel and I had just gotten married, and we were dreaming of buying a house, and so we were trying to save towards a down payment. But this time, I responded in obedience. I said, okay, God, I'll give this amount of money. And in that moment, I felt so proud of myself. I was responding in obedience. I was being generous. I was being led by the Spirit. And just as I was feeling proud of myself, I felt God speak to me again. And he said, hey, Nick, why don't you add another zero to that? And I just felt my stomach drop. But after a moment of consideration, I agreed. I said, okay, God, this is your money. I will give that amount of money. And again, I felt a little proud of myself. Again, I was responding in obedience. I was being incredibly generous. I was being led by the Spirit. But then again, God spoke to me. And he said, Nick, add another zero. And I just about fainted. But again, after a moment of consideration, I agreed. I said, God, this is your money. I will give that amount of money. And this time, instead of feeling proud of myself, sitting back, I said, God, is there anything else that you'd like to add? And I had this picture of God smiling at me, not in a patronizing way, but one of genuine love and pride. And he told me that he was proud of me. I was responding in obedience. I was generous beyond my wildest dreams, and I was being led by the Spirit. Now, let me tell you, it was so hard to respond in obedience. It's literally 100 times what I thought that I was going to give. But Rachel and I talked about it afterwards. Before I had given the money, just to be clear, Rachel and I have an understanding. We've talked about this. We've talked about the fact that if God prompts one of us to give, whether it's to an offering or to pay for someone's meal, that no questions asked, we support the other person and trust because we want to be a generous people. And so we got together. We wrote out this check together with tears in our eyes. But I can also say that we saw God provide for us in miraculous ways. The road of being led by the Spirit isn't easy, but I continue to be so thankful that we took that step forward and that we were able to do it together. So, we need to listen for God's voice and then respond in obedience. How do we do this? Well, I could preach multiple sermons on the various ways to live this out, but I'm running out of time as it is, so let me offer just one example of how to do this. One way to put this listening and responding thing into practice. It's a five-step plan. Step number one, make space to listen. It's hard to hear from God when there's a lot of distractions going on. Let me tell you, there's a lot of distractions in my household with a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And so when I want to hear from God, I need to be intentional about creating space where I can hear God's voice. Sometimes that means shutting the kids in their room. Sometimes it means going for a walk. Sometimes it means coming to this building when it's empty and just spending time listening. The second thing that I like to do is ask God a question. God loves to speak to us. He's our Father, and he loves his children. He wants to talk to you. He wants to speak into the things that are on your heart and mind. And so I like asking God a question. Then the third step is I'll write down whatever comes to mind. Even if it sounds crazy, I'll just go with it and try it out. Because, man, God has said some crazy things to me that have turned out totally on the money. And so I write it down, and then the fourth thing I do is I test it, like we were talking about. Does this thing agree with Scripture? Does this line up with who I know God to be? And what does a Christian friend think about it? I'll talk about it with Rachel and be like, Rachel, this is what I sense God speaking to me. What do you think? And there are times where Rachel's like, Nick, I think you're absolutely nuts, and we reevaluate. But more often than not, Rachel says, Nick, man, God has been speaking the same thing to me. Or, man, I do think that that's for you. This brings so much clarity. And so then the final step that we do is respond to what God is saying to us, to take action and watch him work in and through you. So my hope this morning is that each of us wants to be led by the Spirit, to leave the slavery of sin behind and to step into our new identity as children of God and to boldly walk forward toward our inheritance, that we would be committed to all that this entails, that we would listen to God's voice and have the courage to respond in obedience. Let me tell you, I want to be led by the Spirit. I want our church to be led by the Spirit. And I hope that you do too. So to end our time today, we're going to do things a little different. Rather than getting the team up and responding in song, I want us to make space to try this out. Whether this is a regular practice for you or it's something that's brand new, you've never even thought to do, we're going to take 2 minutes, and I know because I've got a timer up there, I'm not going to go too long, don't worry. We're going to take 2 minutes and to listen to God. And I'd like for all of us to ask this question. God, is there anything you want me to do today? I've got it up on the screen just in case you've got a short memory attention span, yeah, whatever it is. But what I want us to do is ask God this question, and then we'll listen and wait. If something comes to mind for you, hold on to that. Write it down. Compare it to Scripture. Share it with a friend. And then do that crucial piece. Do what it is that God asks you to do. Hear his voice and respond in obedience. Be led by the Spirit. Let's listen together. God, we thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that you're not a silent God. And so, God, as we commit ourselves to being led by the Spirit, as we commit ourselves to this journey, moving from slavery to inheritance, God, we pray for strength and boldness to say yes. God, that we wouldn't fall into the temptation of leaning on our own way of doing things, leaning on our own strength, but God, would we continually come back to what you are leading and calling us to. God, we pray for wisdom in how to set aside time to hear your voice, to not just be overwhelmed by distractions. And God, a boldness when we hear your voice to respond in obedience, to not just sit back and be content with how things are, but to look towards how we can positively make an impact for your kingdom. We thank you, Jesus, and we commit ourselves, this church, this community, to you. Would you do what only you can do? In Jesus' name.